What's up, people? Welcome to the Black Comic Creators Podcast, a show where we talk to Black comic creators and Black manga creators and get to know more about their creative process, about their work, and just their overall business. So I'm Brandon Calloway, your host, and I'm also the writer and creator of Black Spartans Manga. Let's get to it. Hey, I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a heads up that this episode has a really tiny bit of feedback in a few different spots. I was using a new microphone and I really don't know what happened. So I'm sorry about that and just wanted to let you guys know before you started hearing some weird noise. All right, let's get to the episode. All right, here we go. So welcome back to one of our episodes of Black Comic Creators Podcast. We got Roderick Curtis here today from Royal House Comics. He got a couple of stories that are about to come out, doing some big things, got some really, really, really amazing artwork. And so I'm just excited to, you know, to talk to you, Roderick, today and find out more about, you know, what you're doing. You know, I ain't trying to spoil too much of the story, but I want to know more about it. Why don't you start by just telling me and everybody listening who you are. Tell us a little bit about your company and then go into some of the stories you got coming out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My name is Roderick Curtis. I am a new author and comic creator. I had a story, Pharaoh versus Priest, which was my first project that I did in college 10 years ago and did a student short anime about it. And I've had the idea in my years to write the book or create the comic for over a decade, and finally just got onto a computer and started writing. And I fleshed out that story in about 10 days after being a new writer and never having written anything, but the story has been in my mind for 15 years. So it's on the docket to be published. I had it edited and sent it out to be published. I worked with a very cool international artist on that project, and I just had the thirst. I had the thirst. So I continue to develop ideas, and I'll tell you where Royal House Comics kind of started from is being in the Facebook and the social media platforms, kind of seeing how artists and writers connect. And it didn't seem like a working model. It seemed like either a versus or you know, how can we get the business terms on? Didn't seem to be ironed out. So I reached out on Facebook to a group and said, hey, there's a different way. Reach out to me if you'd like to try a different way. Many people reached out, and that was the seed of Royal House Comics. Yeah. Many. Go ahead.
Tell me about that, because I when I found my artists for Black Spartans, you know, I went on Facebook and then I went on Instagram and I looked at a bunch of people's stuff, and then I sampled a bunch of artists. So I have stuff for me. But so what, how do you work with your artists at Royal House?
Great question. Well, I'll tell you how I started. I started with Upwork and Fervor. And I found my artist for Pharaoh versus Priest on Upwork and Fervor. However, I was in those forums, just saw so many talented Black artists and writers and wanted a way to connect and build with them as a black writer and creator myself. So I can tell you there was a lot of trial and error. Not everybody that reached out made it through. Not everybody that reached out and participated are still with us. But I have a US-based artist named Donald. I have several Nigerian artists, Peter Sikansi, that we just connected and stayed in contact. I've kind of led the group and just always reaching out. You know what I mean? Hey, this is next. And we started working. I didn't want to come together and start talking. I wanted to come together and start working. So we just kind of like freestyling, right? Like rappers will get into a room and freestyle. That's what we did. We got into a room and I said, hey, come up with a story, writer. Hey, this other writer, develop characters for that story. Hey, artist, I'm gonna pay you to draw this character, right? People don't want to work for free, and I don't want anybody to work for free because I want to sell the product, right?
Right,
So,
right, right, right.
I'm invested in the success of this. So this was like a test run, and we created like eight characters, four different worlds that were just like practice, that were just to see how we gel. And from that, we found a great group of artists, writers that wanted to go on to the next thing and move to the next step. So that's where Dombey arose, because I had saw this BBC interview about Dombey, this West African martial art where they wrap their fist up, and they call it the spear hand, and they block with the opposite hand, and it's just a cr incredible visual to watch. It's fought in a pitch. The crowd is all, bunched up into the ring, and they just go at it, man. And there was this one line that the BBC reporter said, where she said they had to ban magic. There used to be magic involved in this fight. So that's where Dombey sparked for me. I'm like, that's crazy. There was a time when they fought with magic. They had to ban it. So that's where our world starts. Our world is before they ban magic in Dombey. So all the fighters have like this ability to tap into curses and magic and utilize that within the rounds and the fighting, which makes it just kind of a rich a rich world where it's the combat, the technical aspects, and the embellishment, the imagination of what that fighting would have been like when you can use magic in that world. So I had the artist create characters, and I showed them to you.
And I mean those characters look amazing. Like you got some really, really, really great artists. I didn't even know about the like that part of it, the backstory of it, but simply from just seeing the art, I was like, when is this coming out? And
Yes,
so
sir.
The art plus that kind of backstory, I'm even more excited about it. And so you mentioned Pharaoh versus Priest, and now Dombey. So do you have a like, is Pharaoh versus Priest already published? Is that out? Is that coming out? And I know Dombey is
Yes.
on its way out too.
Yes, Pharaoh versus Priest is further along. That's my that flagship project before I connected with my team at Royal House Comics. So we're in paneling for Pharaoh versus Priest. It's really close to that first issue being done. And as a new creator with a new business entity, I would love to roll that under Royal House Comics. And we want to be our own distribution channel. We want to sell our comics digitally, right off our own website. Right through the social media outlets, and grow our audience real organically before we, pitch, or before we, start doing other things with more traditional publishing. We think we have good inroads with YouTube and doing like webtoons. So we want to try to just be a guerrilla marketing, comic house that can take content from idea to market and publish and distribute it ourselves. So Pharaoh versus Priest is almost done. Dombey is starting paneling soon. Me as the creator of Pharaoh versus Priest would love to bring that under Royal House Comics as well.
Can you talk a little bit about the story of Pharaoh versus Priest? Like what I mean that it as soon as you hear it, it sounds exciting. But
I'm the
let's
type
go
of creator that
develop
likes
let's
to
go develop
have, I like to latch on to these historical, to have a historical backing to my embellishment. So Pharaoh versus Priest is really the story of Nefertiti, Akhenaten, and King Tut and that family. It's a tragic story, really. He's famous or infamous, and nobody can really figure out kind of which is which. So I was always drawn to like those images of Nefertiti and Akhenaten with the sun, rays coming down on them, and the tragedy of King Tut, and the fall of the Egyptian Empire, around the fall of the Bronze Age. So that is where the story takes place. It's about Akhenaten and his rise to becoming the Pharaoh. Because if you kind of look into the history, some people say he was a Moses figure. He wasn't supposed to be Pharaoh, but became Pharaoh and kind of changed the art and the history, the religion of Egypt. And his likeness and his legacy was completely wiped out after his reign. And King Tut died as a young king. So I filled in all that story with my imagination. So it's this, he's like a wizard that has to become a pharaoh. Pretty much as his journey is like Homer's Odyssey meets Stargate, right? So he has to go up and reclaim the throne after Egypt is beset with enemies and is kind of falling from within and without. And he has to kind of save the country and save the nation, the Nile Valley nation. And Nefertiti, her name is Nefertun, and his name is Aten in my story. And they kind of, it's really a Black love story surrounded by Egyptian alchemy and assassins and these crazy kind of characters that have powers equal or beyond his, but his love and his light kind of shine through and he ends up kind of taking his mantle as Pharaoh.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, you said that you animated that like 10 years ago, is that right?
I did with a team. I'm a creator. I draw portraits, black and white portraits. I'm not, and I did do the stills. We did stop motion anime. So I drew the characters and, you know, right, left, arms, right, left. And we just did stop motion with a green screen and moved them, take a shot, moved them, take a shot. So it was pretty cool. This was back in 2005 and I had sound people. I'm not a sound person. I brought together a group of students and we did this for a project. It was a class. We got an A, you know, obviously for it, but yeah. You know, that was all it was for
like a 10 lot of work. Years after.
Yeah, it was. And that's kind of what I do. I bring people together. I'm a football coach offline. I've been a football coach for 15 years. So managing a head football coach. So managing personalities, egos from a coach's standpoint, a player standpoint, and bringing the team together to success, right? A win or a successful project is something that I have experience in. And that's what I told my team when I was building Royal House Comics along with them, is that my expertise is really in business. Like that's where I cut my teeth after college, was in business. So the layout, right? The layout for comics is not real sound business-wise. The ground for making money in comics is not something that's really, you know, I don't think everybody has a sound business model,
right?
About how to create business comics and bring them to market and sustain yourself in this industry. So I'm bringing some outside knowledge into this industry. And that's what I told my group is we're going to do this differently. We're going to do this successfully by learning from others, by learning mistakes and not repeating them and being open to good ideas and trying to do this the right way.
And it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you have a hyper focus on producing content and being a self-distributor from your own website that allows you to control the speed of how you put out content and then bringing this team together so that you can make sure that you are consistently putting out content. Is that like a good overall idea or view of your business model?
Yes, that's a great description of it. I think the one thing that I would add is I started and I want to remain in a place where I'm helping others. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to artists and my first question wasn't, hey, how can you help me make Pharaoh versus Priest? Or how can you, I didn't even pitch Dombe to everybody like that, right? Dombe kind of came out organically. I was working with other writers and artists. So I started the conversation with, hey, how can I help your project? What does your project need to get off the ground? So everybody that's coming in has their, you know, their passion projects, their ideas that they want to bring to market. So as a team now, we have all the resources for anybody that wants to do that within house. We have in-house writers that can, you know, artists. Some artists have great stories, and I think that's one of the things lacking when I first came into the industry was the connection, the synergy between writers and artists. Right? It was either, hey, I'm commission-based artist. You know, I'm a new creator with not a lot of capital. How do I make a comic with quality art, right? And then for an artist, I'm not going to work for free. Where do I see the return on my investment? So bringing those two groups together in a house where we can exchange those services, right? I would charge to write. I'm a professional writer now, mm-hmm. right? Just like artists charge to draw. However, if I have a project that needs some art and you have a project that needs some writing, where can we collaborate? Can I pay you an in-house price, and can you pay me an in-house price for our commission, so we're not working for free and have shared ownership? So that's where my group is kind of working towards. We share the ownership of these characters. We share the ownership of this IP. If I'm bringing in Pharaoh versus Priest, and I'm benefiting from the house, then we're working out royalties for all house members, even though I did most of that project, you know, alone, and I'm bringing it kind of already compiled and completed. There's benefit to having that channel and all the work that's been done from the group. There we have a marketing arm. Charles is taking the YouTube channel. So we have a house that has all the elements we need to make any project successful. So now every project can be successful in our house, right? So that was the idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's a strong business model where, you know, basically no stone is left unturned. And so I'm excited to see how that rolls out, because that, I mean, that does have the potential, especially with a strong marketer, with, you know, artists in house, it has the potential to produce and to continually produce. And I feel like that's what people want. You know, you see a lot of times, you know, indie creators are doing good. They put out, you know, issue one and then issue two and then that's it. And you know, and me as a fan, you know, I want to, if I dive into a story, I want to be able to dive into a story. And that's, I mean, that's one of the challenges I'm having, is that I need to make sure I'm continually putting out and creating stuff. So yeah, I love what you're doing. It sounds dope.
I'll share something on that, because I started with Pharaoh versus Priest. I wrote the book first, and doing a lot of research and listening to a lot of people. You know, I think a lot of people start comics with issue one or first page and go page by page and write page by page, kind of like, you know, you see a lot of these Japanese anime, right? It's issue by issue. Seems like they're making it up every week, you know, and how to continue the story, where I write the whole story first. So there's a full arc already made before we start paneling. So that's why we were just starting paneling for Dombey, is because I just completed the story for Dombey. So now we already know, we filled all the plot holes. We know what we're setting up for the end and what we're, you know, teasing for these different, you know, spark points in the story. And it just makes issue, you know, the next issue is already written, mm-hmm. right? So it's just about kind of compiling and breaking it down into the script.
Yeah. I'm a strong believer of, you know, finishing the story before you write it. One of my favorite stories is One Piece, and some people will argue that, you know, that they added in a few new things. One Piece has been around for 20 years, so they probably did add some new stuff.
Yeah,
but it is still clean. It's still, you can still tell that they have planned out all of the major points of the story, you know, before they even started publishing. And then, you know, one of my other favorite shows was, I don't know, have you ever seen Supernatural, TV show?
Yeah.
And so I love Supernatural from season one to season five. And you could tell that is where they had wrote it to, and that's where it was supposed mm-hmm. to end. And then season mm-hmm. six and seven and eight, and I was like, all right, what's going on? And then it got to season 10 and 11, and I said, I can't do this anymore.
Like, yeah.
They keep pulling stuff out of the air, and so yeah. I mean, I think that if anybody is, you know, listening to this and thinking about getting into writing a comic book, everybody should do, even if you are already writing a comic book and you already got a one or two issues out, you need to stop and finish your story completely. One of the best pieces of advice I think I got was to, you know, not only finish, because I mean, mine is a manga type story. And so, you know, the typical shonen. And so not only to finish the story, but to write out chapter by chapter the synopsis for at least, you know, 10 chapters in every. Yeah. So,
yes, sir.
So you know what, like, exactly what is supposed to happen in the next chapter, next chapter, next chapter, that keeps your story fluid and consistent, and it doesn't feel like that, you know, chapter or that season 5 to 6 of
Well, you brought up a good you know, the shonen model. Our house kind of uses the shonen model and the Wu-Tang model to because we all are independent artists and creators that can branch off and be successful independently, but we come together on this shared IP. Mm-hmm. That we use the shonen model because we want to write books, do comics, and make anime. Mm-hmm. For any IP that comes through our house. So Dombey actually has 30 seconds of short anime in production right now. So we want to hit all the visuals and the intellectual, because a lot of people read like Naruto novelizations, right? Because you can just get deeper into the story with reading, and that's a whole culture. Some people, and they're not specific, right? So I might read some YA books, and I might watch some manga, and I might read some comics. People aren't just stuck in these one avenue. So if you have Dombey or an IP that can touch readers and comic book enthusiasts, as well as people that maybe don't read or look at comic books, but maybe watch some cool anime when it pops up, you know, that's what we want to do. And yeah, foreshadowing is so important in good storytelling.
Yeah.
Right. Having these surprises that have been set up are so important. So if you don't have that full arc already thought about, then you really limit yourself to some of these nuggets that you can throw in early and really like lay out and have that those big reveals.
Yeah. Yeah. So diving into some of that more traditional stuff, what are your big inspirations from, like, you know, from comics or anime or manga? What do you feel like inspired your stories?
Oh man, I'm an 80s baby that watched Saturday cartoons. So Ninja Turtles, Transformers, G.I. Joe, you know, that's what I was locked in. Yeah, the classics. That's what I was locked into every single Saturday going out as a kid. And I never really grew out of it. So, you know, I'm watching all the way Transformers all the way up to high school, Beast Wars, you know, as I got into adulthood, Naruto really caught my attention. I've been a fan of Naruto since the early days, and watched every episode. I read the manga comics. I've read all of them, and I'm even into the new one, Boruto, just because of the nostalgia of it. So I love that shonen style as well, and Naruto's power set and world building was just very inspirational to me. And I think Dombey kind of has a lot of that tournament. Dombey is kind of like the chunin exams on steroids, or just, you know, it's like all about the chunin exams, like the tournament. So that's really what Dombey is you know, Shaka Zulu meets Naruto, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's an exciting thing to imagine right there. The chunin exam on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
With those, you know, being your base or your inspiration, how do you feel about, you know, like Black characters, producing more Black characters specifically by Black creators? You know, I think of Naruto, and I remember when I was watching Naruto, and then Sasuke fought the 5 Kage, and I was all, you know, I was hyped. I was like, man, this is crazy. And then all of a sudden, I'm introduced to this Black dude who just rapping. And I was like, what is this? Why, like, I didn't know it was Black people. Why is he rapping? Like, why is he so bad at it? It threw me all the way off. I want to know what your thoughts are on, you know, on representation in comics and anime and manga, and specifically by Black creators, and you know, should we create original stuff? I mean, obviously we should create original stuff, but how do you feel about that versus, you know, like just making Captain America black?
Yeah. Well, I want to start by saying I want to love everything black. So I don't think other cultures are necessarily going to do it accurately, but the attempt and the appreciation, sometimes copying is the biggest form of flattery, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever the Japanese creators are like, well, we have this grown black audience, let's try to appeal to them. That's a positive start, right? That's mm-hmm. the origin of the idea. The execution, maybe need to bring in some brothers to, you know, fly them into Japan and have them make it authentic. But the try, I can't knock the try. I liked Killer Bee. I liked Duria and Omi, some of these darker characters that they try to give this coolness that I guess they're trying to associate with black people. It's not perfect. But like I said, I want to love anything black or anything that others are trying to expose about our character. I'll talk about Captain America in that same light, right? So I think it's good that our young children can see Captain America as black, right? They have this image of Captain America being this iconic figure, and you know, them seeing the stars and stripes on the chest of a black man, whether it be a Falcon, who's, you know, or Captain America, different iteration of it. I think that's good. I think it's a good start, right? It's not enough. It's definitely not enough, and it's not a genuine, authentic representation. So that's where we as indie creators I don't think we can wait for mainstream to do it right. They're always going to do it wrong because they're limited in their scope of how they can portray us. But they don't want to forget about it. They don't want to limit it as a market. I think it's sometimes just purely a sales gimmick, right? You know, let's make Captain America black to get, you know, some black audience, right? Whereas indie creators are always going to be coming from that authentic idea. How do I really inspire, not just visually, but for young people to say that they can be a creator, not that they can be Captain America, but they can be Stan Lee, right? You know what I mean? So that's where I think indie creators really have more power than any black character or rapper that's on Naruto or black, you know, Captain America that's just a replacement. I don't want to knock those. I love everything black, but I think there's so much room for us to just become our own distributors and not wait for Marvel or Disney to create these entities for us. We got to do it to support our own.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that the Naruto example of the whole Cloud Village being a village full of black ninja. You know, like I'm in a few black nerd groups on Facebook, and you see, you know, as soon as everybody found out about that. That a village full of black ninja existed, everybody wanted to stop being Leaf and start being Cloud. Which shows that there is that hunger for that representation, even when it's not done well. We're so hungry for the you know, whatever it is, we take it. I think that having indie creators creating that authentic representation of blackness is important, you know, I'm also down with seeing black Captain America. I don't think that it's really feasible for somebody like a Marvel or DC to create a brand new character that's black, mainly because they have so many characters already, and mm-hmm. to spend time creating a new character, marketing a new character, making people like a new character is just harder than, you know, taking even Moon Knight,
yeah.
A lot of people don't know Moon Knight. Some people know Moon Knight. It would be easier to just make Moon Knight black.
I loved Moon Knight as a kid. I read that comic, and I think you're right. It's so heavy at the top, right? The new black character is never going to take Captain America, Iron Man, right. Hulk, Thor's spot, right? They're never going to give them right. that role. So we're only going to be able to create the black,
right?
You know, top.
Yeah, because I mean, Marvel doesn't, they don't have to. Like, they just don't have to. And then you mentioned about being Stan Lee, and you mentioned about that authentic representation, and it reminded me of this this interview I was watching of Stan Lee when he was giving advice to new writers about, you know, how to write. He was saying that a lot of people try to write things that they think will sell, and he just focuses on writing what he would like to read, and that's been the approach that I take. You know, when I'm writing my stuff, I just write what I think is dope and what excites me. But I know that there are a lot of creators that write stuff and then like start to change up their stuff because they're like, oh yeah, I might like this, but I think if I did it like this, it'll sell better. And, which is not bad. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that. It's different. That's not the route that I choose to take. So I'm just, I want to know your thoughts on that and how.
I think writing is an art, and I think art is expression. So, you know, you are going to express your thoughts, feelings, imagination. And I think that's where the best art comes from, is staying in that place, that passion place. And once you start getting into, oh, is somebody else going to like this? Is somebody else going to, you know, now collaboration is always good for good product. Right. So a writer collaborating with somebody else that they trust on the story that wants to enrich the story is great. Collaborating with an artist who can enrich your character and add these details that blend is great. But when you start creating for others, not commission, right? If you're going to take a commission, yeah, what do you want? I'll write that for you, or I'll draw that for you. But your own, I think you need to stay in your own imagination and produce what comes from the heart. And then if, you know, package it, sell it to a niche, right? That some people get rich off of it, off of a niche, right? You know, if you want to come in and try to just reshape a world that's already been made, I think people are going to see right through that, right? I'll go back to Stan Lee and Pharaoh versus Priest. So my character Akhenaten in the Marvel world, he is the antagonist for Apocalypse, the most evil person in the entire Marvel world. Akhenaten, who is, I believe in black culture and Nefertiti, they are the king and queen of all king and queens. In Marvel, he's the antagonist for Apocalypse. That just didn't sit well with me. Like, and he's just like a throwaway. He just gets beat up. Like, you know, Apocalypse just Apocalypse is the savior in that story, and Akhenaten is the villain. That's not the way. I love Stan Lee, but that's not going to gel with me, man. Akhenaten is the hero. Apocalypse is the villain. You know what I mean? Akhenaten would be Apocalypse in my world. You know what I mean? So we can only tell our story the way it's in our head and in our heart. And I think you need to stay there as a creator, as an artist, is divulge your passion. I'm watching TV and I'm watching other people's imagination.
Right.
I think there's an audience for your imagination.
Yeah. So to that point, man, how do you find an audience for your stuff? Like what social media platforms do you think is important for people to be on? And just how to, you know, a lot of creators struggle with finding audiences for their books. So how do you find an audience for your stuff?
I started as, you know, as an author. So kind of taking advice from AuthorTube and how authors gain audience. And what I was noticing is that a lot of people were saying, you have to get into these communities, not as a pitch man. Don't come into these communities selling your stuff. Come into these communities interacting with people in a real, you know, social way, and, you know, build relationships authentically. And then, you know, as those opportunities come to share or build, you know, people are more, you know, they have an open ear and an open mind because they know you a little bit, right? So, you know, people don't know me, I get into these forums and bam, my Kickstarter's on your front page. Like, you know, it's along with 10, 12 other Kickstarters on my front page. I don't know this person.
Right.
I don't know the backstory. So if I know someone and I like their art and their Kickstarter comes up, I'm going to be so much more inclined to at least give it a look. You know, my pockets might be a certain way, but if I give it a look and I have a few bucks and the art looks good and I know this person I want to support because they've been communicating, maybe they supported me first, right? Or maybe they, you know, commented and maybe support is not always financial. Maybe they're commenting on some of my posts and we're sharing good exchanges and information first, then I think your audience grows as people understand who you are, right? People,
right.
So that's, and as far as what's better, right now, I'm not sure what's better. I think they all have Facebook, Instagram. We're trying to get on YouTube right now. I think they all have their value as a marketing arm. So what I'm doing right now is a little bit of everything. I'm on Facebook. I'm trying to get in as many forms as I can. I'm just creating my own group, Royal House Comics, that's going to be becoming public at the end of the week or next week as we have a little more art to produce and kind of have up there, where we don't just talk about Royal House Comics, but we're going to talk about all indie comics, right? We want to kind of make it an open forum to just, you know, talk about indie comics and black comics, and we'll talk about Dombe, right? So I think it's that two-way street, right? It's not, once again, back to how I started, it's not just how can you help me, it's firstly how can I help you.
Yeah, that's what's up. You know, you definitely got to hop in and find ways to create value in the community. And you mentioned Kickstarter. So, I mean, I was going to ask if because there are some, it kind of surprises me, but there are some creators that don't want to do Kickstarter and don't want to do Indiegogo and just don't want to do crowdfunding in general. And so I was going to ask you about how you feel about crowdfunding, but it sounds like you plan on doing Kickstarters, or you've done some Kickstarters before?
It's a small part of our, it's not integral to our business model, right? If I'm going to produce, I can imagine myself like a up and coming rapper, right? I'm going to make my tape and sell it out my trunk. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get into the studio, make a song and then go pitch you a song and say, hey, I'm making an album, buy this song first so I can make another one. Right. I want to put together a full product, maybe two or three products. And if I can use Kickstarter to build an audience, right, to use a social crowdfunding platform to get my actual book out to people. Right. I'm not selling you the idea and to help me bring the idea to fruition. I have the idea. I have the product. I want to know if it appeals to you, if you will buy it. So then I can recruit some investment, maybe seed, you know, future development and other products. But the way our program is, our company, Royal House, is going to use Kickstarter, Indiegogo, is limited in scope and for a specific reason. And I'd learned this from I went to Kickstarter groups, right? Experts in Kickstarter. So this, I didn't make this up, mm-hmm. right? People that have done successful Kickstarters, there's several things that they said are important and that I took from that. One is you have to have a crowd before you do crowdfunding.
Right. That's the number one thing.
That's the number one thing. So now as we have Royal House Comics, we're not competing with each other. All of our extended networks would support our one Kickstarter,
mm-hmm.
our one project at a time. Okay. So now our crowds, we have a crowd. The second thing is to have a product. A lot of artists, you know, will start a product and, you know, get taken, or a lot of writers will start a product and they don't like the business setup, so they check out. And that's what the pitfalls of a Kickstarter is. You run this Kickstarter. A lot of my people on my team haven't had success with Kickstarters because of this. Product's not done. They get the Kickstarter, it doesn't reach the goal, and they never finish the product.
Yeah.
Right. So we believe we're doing things that we believe in. We're going to make them, create them, and bring them to market through our channel with or without Kickstarter.
Yeah. Kickstarter is definitely it's a useful tool, but you gotta know how to use it. You're just like you said, there are a few things that are important and crucial to do if you're launching a Kickstarter campaign. You can't just blindly launch one, but
I'm seeing and what other thing I'm seeing on Kickstarter is the oversaturation of it. I love all creators, man, but some really bad ideas that I'm seeing flashed up.
Yeah,
and I
beauty
hope
of the internet.
You know, people might see my ideas bad, and so I'm not, like I said, I'm not really trying to knock anybody. But you can tell that artists and writers aren't working together on this project.
Yeah.
Right. It's either artists with really good art and a story that I'm not have no, I, even if the art is great, like there's no, I'm not reading a story about a killer tomato. You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't appeal to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, having these Kickstarters that you can tell are are well fleshed out ideas. I think is kind of the third element. You need to have a good team that's doing this product, and it's visible right from the presentation.
Yep. Yeah. That's what's up. That's what's up. How can people find you? So if they want to support, you know, what you're doing, when you start to publish, how can they find you?
We have a Facebook group, Royal House Comics. So you can find us on Facebook at Royal House Comics. My name is Roger Curtis. You can follow me on Facebook, and I'm posting constantly about what's developing. We're on Instagram. Royal House Comics is on Instagram, those are kind of the main two channels. Our websites are coming online, but right now we're utilizing the social media as our marketing tool. So yeah, if we can get any following in our group and supporting what we're doing, that'd be a great way to kind of see what's developing with us. Royal House Comics on Facebook, or follow me, Roger Curtis, on Facebook, or Royal House Comics on Instagram.
Cool. Anything else you want to add, you want to throw out there, talk about?
We're hitting the ground running. And like I tell my team, I don't like stopping forward momentum. So we're starting paneling on Dombey. Pharaoh versus Priest is almost done, and I have a end to get into Comic-Con 2021. So I'm really excited about having a booth and being in the building with these two projects coming up this winter, and we're thinking about doing like a little cosplay, you know, with our comics. So we're just full throttle. Royal House Comics is going to be up and coming. You're going to hear it. You're gonna see Dombey. Dombey has a like a cult following. It's real kind of obscure fighting martial art that's really popular in Nigeria and its West African origins. But I think it has really big breakout appeal, right? I would love to replace all the young black people dressing up like ninjas with all the young black people dressing up like Dombey characters. So I'm just hoping it really takes off. I appreciate you, brother, bringing me on and allowing me to share these ideas and our projects with your audience. So yeah, man, just listen out for Dombey and Royal House Comics.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. You know, like I said, as soon as I saw the art, I was excited about it. I'm even more excited about, you know, reading Pharaoh versus Priest and Dombey. So I'm gonna be on the lookout. I already follow you on Instagram. So I'm gonna join that Facebook group and be on the lookout for stuff coming out, because I'm excited to dive in and experience these worlds you're creating, because they sound interesting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
So Roger Curtis from Royal House Comics, we appreciate you coming on, and we will continue to expect some big things from you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. So that does it for this week's episode. Hopefully you found a new story or a creator to follow, or got some kind of helpful tips or information out of this episode in general. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We got new episodes coming every Friday. If you happen to be interested in learning a little bit more about my own project, Black Spartans Manga, make sure you head over to blackspartansmanga.com or check me out on Facebook or Instagram at Black Spartans Manga. Like I said, subscribe. We got new episodes coming every Friday. Really great creators coming on. Really excited about it. Don't want to miss it. All right. Holla at y'all next week. Peace.